May be seated. Previously, we read of Jesus healing the leper, as Phil shared, an incurable disease. But nothing is impossible with God. Word got out, though, concerning the miracles of Jesus, and the miracles verified who he was. It wasn't just for the sake of performing miracles. It proved he was the Messiah, the anointed one sent by God. And it showed God's power was with him. The crowds, though, got so large that he had to leave the city, Capernaum, and go to a deserted place. We read that in verse 45, the last verse of chapter 1. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. They're coming to him from all over. He had to get out of the city into a deserted place. And then we see verse 1. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. So some time goes by, and he goes back into the city, back into Capernaum. And that was the place he dwelt. We see that in Matthew 4, verse 13. He picked out a nice spot right near the Sea of Galilee, Capernaum. And so that's why you make my dwelling place. And the word got out, hey, Jesus is in the house. Guess what? Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Immediately, they come again to the house. It was so crowded that people couldn't even get near the door. It was like Black Friday, people waiting for the stores to open, you know? They'll even break down windows and doors. And that's good if it's for Jesus. Wouldn't that be awesome? Let me in. I want to hear about the Lord. We need to pray for that. A fire in the hearts of people for God to just be breaking down the doors to get to Jesus. And what did he do? He preached to them. As we've continually said, he came to preach, to seek and to save that which was lost. See, people need Jesus. They knew it. People need Jesus. They need to hear the gospel. We can get complacent at times about our daily business and forget why we're here, to preach the gospel. For some reason, well, we're God's greatest creation here. He chose human beings to get the gospel out, the most treasured thing in the world, the gospel, salvation. You know, in the Old Testament, he used a donkey to get his word out. He probably would have been more fruitful using a donkey to just stick to the word, you know? But here we get in the way, get off on different tangents, and the gospel gets diluted. What people need to hear is the simple gospel that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth to die on the cross to be the atonement for our sin so that you and I could go to heaven. That's what people need to hear. They don't have to have this whole volume of words preached to them. They need to know they need forgiveness of sin. And we must preach the word. And so verse 3, they came to him. So some people came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. We see these four men carrying a paralytic to see Jesus. I would call those good friends. A friend is not a friend if they're taking you away from the Lord or dragging you into the world. A friend is really a friend who brings you to Jesus and encourages, sets the bar very high and encourages you to walk with the Lord. You know, they're not afraid to correct you, instruct you, help you, pray with you. That's a friend. We must bring people to Jesus and not get caught up in other solutions for people's needs. Bring them to Jesus. Point them to Jesus. Good friends. And you know what? As I look at this, I see two things. They've heard of Jesus, and they believe in Jesus. As we'll see in the text, Jesus will acknowledge that. They heard of Jesus, and they believed in Jesus. And so good friends will bring you to Jesus. They knew Jesus was able to heal this man. No one else could. Nothing could. And they knew Jesus is his hope. And Jesus is our hope. Now, these men knew they couldn't help the paralytic. And there are times we can't help people in what they're going through. We would love to, wouldn't we? Wouldn't it be nice to help everyone? Oh, my heart breaks for a lot of people. I can pray with them, point them to the Lord, encourage them. And I guess praying is the best thing we can do for people. But it would be nice if you could just touch them and make their situation better. We can't, but Jesus can. And they knew that. Because when we try to help, we can get in the way. But if we bring people to the Lord, they're going to know it's the Lord. And God wants to be glorified. They knew they couldn't help as much as they would want to. Apparently, they really wanted to see this guy healed because they're willing to do some radical things here. But they didn't have the power to do it. And we don't have the power to do it. But we know the Lord. And we can pray and we can point people to the Lord. You know, and as we read this story, it kind of speaks of a sinner. You know, and all mankind is in need of healing from sin. Everyone that was ever born. And it shows us how the best and only thing we can do for a person in need of forgiveness is to bring them to Jesus. That's the best thing we can do. Point them to Jesus. Because that's man's greatest need. Forgiveness of sin. I guarantee you, 1,000 years from now, we won't be concerned about what happened here. We'll be very happy where we are in heaven. We have to keep that perspective that this is temporary. It's important that people hear about Jesus. Because you know how long eternity is? You can't know how long eternity is because it just goes on. It's a bunch of todays. That's all it is. Now, when you're having a good today, isn't that good? I want a bunch of days like this. Friday, Saturday were beautiful, weren't they? I know it was going for you. It was going pretty good for us. God used us to help someone, and it was going good. Everything put in order, one of those great days. And it'd be have a bunch of those todays. Isn't that great? That's what heaven is, a bunch of todays. And going on and on and on. And you don't have to sleep or eat. You know, might miss eating, but don't have to sleep. Don't need to eat. That'll be nice. But it speaks of forgiveness, washing a sin away so one might inherit eternal life. They have to come to Jesus. It's not religion or reading some book or meditating or getting into some cult or some other faith. It's coming to Jesus. We have come across lately people who are unchurched. But as we talk to them, they know Jesus. But they're tired of what things have become and just want to talk about Jesus and not other things. That's what happened to us Friday. And it's very interesting out there. There's a lot of people that don't go to church, heard about Jesus, maybe even given their life to Jesus, but don't know where to go to church for one reason or another. Oh, they're not teaching the word, or they're doing this over there, or this is happening, or that's happening, and this is going. Maybe you've heard of that. You know, there's all kinds of things going on now. And I know where they're at because I only want Jesus. I'm glad I'm the pastor because I can do this. and just teach the word. And I don't have to get into anything else. I don't have to be in entertainment. You can go to Disneyland if you want entertainment. You know, you can go to a concert out there. But in here, man, I'm happy. I'm the pastor because we can stay right on the word. And so I can be fed. You know, like feeding yourself. And it's good, but there's a lot of people that don't have that and are lacking. And you can tell when you talk to them, they don't know the scriptures and they love the Lord. They kind of feel isolated. I've been praying, Lord, how do we reach them? Because they're afraid to go into a church. How do we reach them? Especially the young and all ages, though. What is it, Lord, that we can do to touch them, to let them know there are places that teach the word? It's not going to be through our effort, fleshly efforts. I mean, the churches have tried that. And God simply spoke. It's me pouring out my spirit. Just God pouring out his spirit. Because we went through a great revival in the 70s, Calvary Chapel. God just poured out his spirit. It was just people with a hunger for God and the word of God. Nothing else. Drew my wife and I in. Nothing else. Just hearing the word of God. And so, okay, God, God, please bring to us those people you wish us to talk to. Because there's nothing we can do. God did it the next day. And I'm thinking now, I'm just going to pray that every day. God, they don't want to go to church, so they're not going to hear the word of God. They're afraid of some churches, or they've had a bad experience in a church. Oh, there's all kinds of excuses out there. And plus the culture. And so I just pray, God, use us, and if you want to use us, bring those people to us so we can talk to them. Not about the church or anything, but about Jesus. And he did it. So I would challenge you, all of you, just pray that every day. Like these men brought this man who needed help to Jesus. Just pray, God, show me who I can bring to Jesus and bring them to me so I can talk to them. Now, it's not about, it's good if you can invite them to church and they come, but if they don't, that's okay as long as you can share with them. That's, the church is just the place to get built up and fed, and they should get into a church, but they need Jesus, and they need to know his love, and that you care, and that I care. They may look different than you. They may act different than you. They may have a different personality. They may not speak well. They may speak well. They're above you or below you in their speech or intellect. Or none of that matters. None of that matters. It's they need Jesus, and I need Jesus. And I have to be open to bringing people to Jesus. And it's not going to happen, apparently, through getting them in the church on their own. It's going to happen through us sharing out there. Just like these guys. They knew he was at the house, that's where they brought him. And that's what we need to do. And it first starts with being willing to have the desire to bring people to Jesus. And then watch all day long who he brings across your path. And don't leave here saying, well, I'm going to get up tomorrow morning and I'm going to speak to the first person I meet. Then you'll never do it again. You'll be so turned off. You're going to say, that's it for me. Maybe it works for Pastor Jim, but it doesn't work for me. No. You don't do it. Like I said, I had to ask God. I had to tell God, there's nothing I can do. And you have to get to that point. There's nothing I can do. But I want to be used. So bring them to me. Open the door. Let them walk across my path and ask a question or need help or something. And open the conversation. So that you and I aren't striving to do it. It's God doing it. And maybe the evangelism in our day and age is going to be one-on-one. Maybe. Great. It's like the first church. Went from town to town and spoke. Just pray that this story would be real to us. Now, remember, I always told you, we're commissioned, but we're not on commission. So you don't have to come out here next week and say, man, I talked to three people. One listen, two didn't. No, no, no. We don't even want to, you know, don't even talk about that. Just live it. Just live it and don't get stressed out if God doesn't bring anyone across your path this week. If you prayed for him to do that, his will be done. Because that's his will. So the pressure's not on you. It's just the freedom in letting God do it. Letting God do it. Just bring people across your path. And if they want to go to church, be like these guys and drive them, pick them up, or talk to them, or do something where you'll say, I'll get you to church, so they don't feel alone. You see? There's when we read the Bible, when I think of the revival that took place in the late 60s and early 70s, it was happening out there on the streets and on the beach and everywhere you went. And then people were going to church to grow. But the evangelism was happening out there through tracts. We had a ton of tracts given to us before we were believers. You couldn't go anywhere in those days without getting a tract. A tract, you know, chick tracts they were. And you'd get them. And being raised as a Catholic, I was superstitious about religious things. I don't know about you, when you break away from something, there are certain holy things that you can't throw a holy thing away. So what do I do with this thing? Well, I go home and I put it in my drawer. And then eventually you get a drawer full of tracts that you can't throw out because you're superstitious. And then when I got interested in being born again and in my early days of being born again, I'd go to those tracts and start to read them and say, wow. Is this really in the Bible? And you go look up the verses in the Bible. That's there. How come I never knew that? How come no one ever told me that? I don't know if you've had the same experiences, but it was an eye-opener. Wow, this is real. But see, that's the way it was. God was moving with his Spirit. I think in our day, now I'm getting way off my message here, but we're going to go through this as I'm speaking because God keeps feeding me. So. And I think it's necessary that we have a fire lit in us to do this one-on-one, you see. I think we've gotten away from this, and I can speak for myself. You're counting on a meeting or a crusade or a TV program or an evangelist to do these things, when literally it was everybody sharing. And you know what? Then you all feel part of it. You're part of it. You're part of the church. And you're doing your part. But I think there's a tendency, well, they'll do it, or that'll handle it, or that'll work over there. Who am I? You know who you are? You're a son. You're a daughter of God when you're a believer. You're his child. And you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And you have the power to bring life-changing messages to a dying world. Isn't that awesome? God gave you and I that power through the Holy Spirit to present the best news there ever was. Today they're getting rid of newspapers. No, there's another topic. I don't know why. But today they're getting rid of newspapers. You know, they're going bankrupt. People don't read the newspaper today. But that's where you get the news. People are never going to get tired of reading this newspaper right here. This is life changing news. All the problems I hear from people are covered in here. I'll just say, just read this. You might not like reading today the newspaper, books, or whatever. Put the electronic device down and look at this. You say, well, can I do it on my phone or something? You can, but I don't know about how you underline words on your phone or write little notes on a side and all. I don't know how you do that yet. Maybe you will in the future, you know, in a big tablet or something. But right here, if I go through my Bible, I've got things marked all over the place. You say, well, what good does that do you? It does me a lot of good because when I'm sharing with you, I know where to go and turn for a reference because I got it written down right here. You see? So we've got to get back to this personal evangelism of taking what we have. And we have Jesus in his word, getting out there and sharing. And as Phil said, on our job, you know, I heard yesterday that they're getting some employers to accept their employees Monday working on the internet to do their, buy their items they want for Christmas, shop on the internet on Monday, Cyber Monday. And I heard that again this morning, that they're going to allow employees, you know, gives them some time, because they think in the long run it works out better at work, because otherwise they'd take off from work and go shopping. So they're going to let them do it right on the job. And I'm thinking, wow, that's taken away from work. Now, so we don't want to take away from working, want to be good employees, and then, you know, do all our evangelism and reading and everything on the job, but just be the witness on the job. And I guarantee you, at lunch hours or break times or in conversations, God will open doors. I remember he did for me when I was working in the world. He'd just open a door, and a person sick in the family, they know you're a Christian. Hey, would you pray for me? You notice how people don't want to receive you as a Christian until there's something wrong? Wow, when there's something wrong, you're the first person they go to. Well, pray for me. There's the door. Do you know that you can pray for yourself and ask God to help you? But you first have to establish this relationship. So keep your eyes and ears open. Don't be a bad employee. Do your work. But look for the open doors. Just start the morning by saying, God, just use me. I can't reach them, but you can. And if I'm the vessel you want to use, bring them across my path. But then give me the boldness to speak. Do you have the personality where you can just speak out the word of God? Maybe you don't. A lot of you aren't nodding, you know. Maybe you're timid, inhibited, feel you can't share, wouldn't have the words to share. Well, what I've always said, if you can go to McDonald's and order a hamburger, you can share the gospel. Because you know what to say. And we have some good news right here. And you can, and if a person that's born again says, well, I don't know how to share my faith, then I would doubt you're born again. Because how could you be born again if you don't know what it takes to be born again? Doesn't make sense, does it? So that means you know enough that you're a sinner and Christ died for your sin, and you need to personally ask him into your life, not for a better life, but for forgiveness of sin, and through him you will be saved. So if you have a personality that is one that's kind of inhibited or hard to approach people or talk to people, and as I've said earlier, you're not going to approach them, you're praying for God to bring them to you. But just look for the open door. Just pray, God, help me to speak so that I can share your word. And you know what? He'll do it for you, because that's a prayer according to his will. I've shared this before. When I was working, you know, when I first became a Christian, I was in a cubicle. My boss was in the last cubicle, and then there was the restroom. And God laid it on my heart. You got to share with him. I've been working there for quite a while. You got to share him. You got to share the gospel with him. He needs the gospel, and he was going through some things. So I'd wake up in the morning and say, today is going to be the day. I'm going to share the gospel with him. So I'd be working, and I'd get up in the middle of the, you know, I'd get out of my cubicle in the middle of the morning. I start walking right toward his cubicle, and I failed. I got too chicken, and I'd walk right past him and go to the bathroom. Boy, was I going to the bathroom a lot. All because I didn't have the nerve to stop and open up my mouth to share with this guy. I got so tired of going home and kicking myself. You know how it feels when you know you should have said something to somebody and you don't? Don't you hate that? You wish you could rewind. Let me do it again. And he lets you do it again. And you fail again. And you go home, you kick yourself. I said, I'm tired of this. I don't care. I'm going to stop. And God just worked it out naturally where I started talking to him and shared. Even had a chance to bring him to church. But as you just, and I noticed once I started speaking, the words came. See, we have a very interesting faith. God doesn't empower you to do something until we take the step of faith to do it. In other words, he doesn't give you the faith up front. No, that's not faith. It's we step out and do things we thought we couldn't do. But I notice when you first step out or first start to speak, all of a sudden the peace comes and God takes over. Isn't that wonderful, the way God is? So that's all it's going to take. So don't leave here and say, oh boy, why did I hear this message today? Because I know I should have been sharing with this person and I haven't been. I'm not going to even sleep tonight knowing I got to go to work tomorrow. Remember, it's God. God's going to do the work. He's going to allow you to share with that person. And so we're in verse 4. So first, verse 3, they were carrying this man and they knew they couldn't heal him. And it speaks about a sinner, us bringing sinners to Jesus. Now, where did they go? They went to the house where Jesus was. And they're carrying a man on a bed. Now, I don't know how far they had to walk, but can you picture this scene? A man on a bed. It's like if someone went to your house and you're sick in your bed and they got four guys, one on each corner, and they pick it up and they're walking down Main Street with you laying in the bed and they're carrying you. I mean, people thought, hey, that's kind of weird, isn't it? Wow. And so, but they didn't care if they looked nuts or what, or weird. They didn't care. And sometimes people will call you a fanatic or you're weird. Or you're going overboard, or religious. Don't let that stop you. I'm sure everyone's wondering, what are these guys doing walking through town with a guy on a bed? They were radical. Remember when Noah built the ark? Can you imagine what people were thinking, this guy building an ark in the desert? No water? Thought he was crazy. Can you imagine the names he was called? But who was saved? Noah and his family. Doesn't matter what people think, you see. So they get to the house when they could not come near him. So they get to the house finally, and guess what? It's crowded. They can't get near him. They get to the house, and remember we read the crowds are so bad you couldn't even get near the door? You couldn't even get near the door to see Jesus. They come there. So what did they do? You see, they couldn't get there, but they didn't give up. Because it was so crowded, it didn't stop them. They knew they had to get to Jesus. They knew that. You know, even maybe today you personally know, I've got to get to Jesus. I just read this morning in Revelation to the church of Ephesus, I have this against you, that you left your first love. And I start thinking about myself, and I think, if I left my first love, that true, on fire, burning love for the Lord, where I had to get to Him, can you remember when you first came to the Lord? Was there this passion and love and holy fire where, oh, I just need Jesus? That's where these guys were. They knew Jesus was it. How to get to Jesus. Don't let your relationship with the Lord get stale. And that fire will start, and then He will use you to lead others to Jesus. Because they're going to want what you have. They're going to see that passion. See, and we have to think about that. Have we left our first love? Do we love Him so much that we want to share Him? When you find a great restaurant, and this is a good one, with great service, and not too cold in there, boy, there's a great restaurant, and good food, and a reasonable price. Is that a great restaurant? What do? You share it with other people. Why? Because you want them to be blessed. We should have that same passion for the Lord. I want to share Him with you because He is so important to me. But you know what? If He is not that important to us, the fervency won't be there. It has to be burning that fire in us. More important than anything, because you're going to run into obstacles. They did. But it did not stop them. They knew who Jesus was, and they wanted this man to know who he was and to be healed. They knew they had to get to Jesus. So don't give up on people. Invite them to church to hear Jesus. Give them a ride to meet with Jesus. Now, if they don't want to come to Jesus or hear about Jesus, then hold them up in prayer. Hold them up in prayer and ask God to give them the desire and the faith to come to Jesus. And don't feel the pressure, because it's God's work. We're just the instrument. There are no successes. There are no failures. There's just obedience. You see, we don't take the credit. We don't take the loss. We're just obedient. Do what the Lord calls us to do. Isn't that great? It'd be nice to live life that way. Just doing what the Lord wants me to do. But we don't give up on them. If someone turns you off at home, or at school, or at work, don't stop talking to them. Be available to them, knowing they need to get to Jesus someday. Because when you turn people off, you're more than likely to stop praying for them or give up on them. So don't stop. Maybe you've been rejected 1,000 times, but don't stop living for him, speaking of him when you can. Be available to those people, because people need to come to Jesus. Thank God for these men who brought this paralytic to Jesus. So in verse 4, then, what did they do? They did a radical thing. I wouldn't suggest you do this unless the Lord told you to. So what did they do? They couldn't even get in. They uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. They couldn't get to near them, so they said, let's do a little building maintenance here. He's just about in the middle of the room. Let's get up on the roof. Let's tear a big hole in the roof. So I wouldn't suggest you do this. Let's tear a big hole in the roof enough, when you think about it, not to get a person through, but to get the bed through. That's a pretty good size hole to tear in somebody's roof. But they knew he needed Jesus. See how important that was to them? So they did some maintenance. They're radical, but they're also fruitful. We're going to see that. So they uncovered the roof where Jesus was. It's quite a story. These men had faith in Jesus. They truly cared for this man and they didn't care what they had to do. They weren't about to give up. In ministry, in serving the Lord, in sharing the gospel, and being a light in the world, we do run into obstacles. In this case, the crowd was so great they couldn't get in. You see, it's normal. Don't feel odd. It's normal. But don't give up. Persevere. Maybe feel you're right in the center of God's will, and I believe God told me to do this, and the door, it didn't work out the way I thought, and the door seems to be closed. Don't give up. If God is directing you, persevere. Don't strive to do something that isn't God's will, but what he has told you to do, or to be a witness and a light and sharing the gospel, persevere. You know, they had a plan, I'll bet. We're going to take this man on his bed, get him over to Jesus in the house, and just bring him in before Jesus and have Jesus heal him. Do you think that was their plan? I believe that was their plan. They had a plan. Now, wouldn't that be great if our plans always worked out our way? Wouldn't that be great? I got a plan, and I'm going to do it, and it all works out. There's only one thing wrong. It doesn't. It doesn't usually when it's, because there's the enemy wants to keep us away from being used by the Lord. So don't get discouraged if your plans don't work out. What we do is we pray for wisdom, for strength, and to see with spiritual eyes the thing that's needed here, and be flexible. Maybe you had planned to speak to a person about the Lord and it didn't work out. That's okay. Don't give up. These men had faith in Jesus. They were persistent in getting the job done, and they had perseverance and continued to go forward. So they have faith, persistence, and perseverance. They uncovered the roof. They let the bed down. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. What do you think everyone thought? Whoa, what's this? There's a guy coming down on a bed. And he drops right in front of Jesus. And then we get into our real message, which we're going to start next week, faith and works. Do you see the works here? Faith without works is dead. Our faith is going to show, just like the faith in these men showed. So next week we pick it up in verse 5. God, thank you for sharing with us today. We thank you for your word. We just pray, Lord, that you would light a fire in our hearts for Jesus and not go beyond that. We need you, Lord. More of you and less of us. Please get our hearts and minds off of other things that would take your place. I pray we would all be in that place of where our first love was with you. So in love with you that we just had to be around you all the time, knowing you're there, conscious of you. Lord, forgive us of the things we've done that have offended you or things we didn't do, which we should have. Have mercy and grace upon us. God, I would pray today we all leave here not pressured or stressed or striving, but free in the Lord. Just asking, Lord, that you would use us to touch people out here, outside of this church, that you would bring people across our path that need help, that are looking for help and hope in you. Lord, open the doors. There's so many out there, even people in our own families and neighborhoods. But it won't work unless the Spirit of God is poured out. So we wait on you now. But when the opportunities come, Lord, let us be instant, in season, ready to share just a simple love story of how much they are loved by God. And Lord, let us remember these words today. Let them change our lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.